Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 19. This is the Godfathers of Podcasting, and we are broadcasting live right now on Facebook as well as on the godfathersofpodcasting.com. You can catch this episode after the fact if you can't catch all of it live right now on the godfathersofpodcasting.com, or the audio version will be available on any of your favorite podcast providers. My name is Donnie DeSilva, and I am joined by the two finest broadcasters that I've ever had the pleasure to work with. Of course, my brother, Chris Tidwell. You may know him by his East Coast alias, the Notorious T.I.D. And my other brother, Daniel Feraldo, who you may know by his rap name, Cardi D.
That's me, baby.
What up, yo, Cardi D?
Yo, you got the WAD. Nah, I got the WAD, man. Wet ass D.
My man, Danny O. What's up, fella?
What's going on, man?
That track that you bumped last week at the end of the program, that thing is just absolutely in my head every single day since last week's episode. How's the response been?
Oh, it's been dope, man. It's kind of crazy because my album, The Day It All Changed, dropped in October, but the lockdown remixes version of the album, which has all been remixed during the coronavirus lockdown, will drop September 4th. So thanks for segueing me to say that. And on September 4th, I'm actually releasing a double album of remixes from that album. What's really dope about the response is that every time I put out a single, people respond like it's new. The song's been on the album. So the remix is new, and the remix will be on the new album. But I love dropping singles because it always brings fresh, new life to a song that many people may have never heard before. And this one has Shaq Claire on it, who's been here on the Godfathers of Podcasting with us. His bro, Ro Dalla, which is part of our original crew who went on the Rap Essentials tour back in 96. And the one and only Century, who is the sickest singer in the six, who appears on my album three times. So thanks for acknowledging that the single is out. And it will drop. Actually, a lie. The single is available on the album right now, but the single and remix drops this Friday, August 14. It streams everywhere. And I would love it if we could go out on the remix today. You played the original last week. The remix drops Friday. So no. Pretty please. Yeah.
No, tonight we're going out on one of my songs.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's okay. Yeah. Because the way you've been spitting lately, you deserve it. So I'm okay with
this
that.
Is not one of my raps. Tonight, I'm going out with my new hair band. We're called Leopard Thong. And it's in honor of our guest that's going to be joining us later tonight, Kenny Wilkerson, who is a member of one of the top 50 greatest hair bands of all time. And I've been inspired. I am now a glam rocker for this week and this week only.
And it's only right. If you're so inspired about this hair band, you should show your hair on the show this week. I think it's about time.
I got my person coming soon to tease it out.
That's what you're doing to the audience right now, is just teasing it out.
Teasing right. It out, baby.
So that asked me, like, in all of these remixes and everything, all this fresh stuff, do you hire a live band?
When I perform live, usually for a release party, God willing, whenever I'll get that opportunity to do again, then yes. Actually, my favorite thing to do, and I've done it for two of my album release parties, my two of my three last ones have been with a live band. Big shout out to TJ Habibi of Secret Suburbia, who always helped
there
put it together.
Yes, and TJ Habibi. We love you, Habibi. We love you, Habibi.
And who always plays some live guitar on my albums, too. So, yeah, man. Yeah.
Would love to.
Speaking of playing live, Tid, I think it's only appropriate. I did want to start off today's show by sending a big, huge rest in peace to our brother James Harris, aka the Ugandan giant Kamala.
Crazy. You're eating up my content, dude. We were gonna get to that.
I know you were gonna get
stepping
to that,
all over Donnie's toes.
Whatever. He's got big feet. You mentioned live band, and you know, when we had the opportunity to put on an event celebrating our Oblivion album back in 2009.
January 2009.
That's right. We had Kamala headline a wrestling event as part of that release party, Tid. So Tid gave the segue, and it was a good one because that was the first and the only time I've ever performed live playing bongo drums. And it was for Kamala's entrance. So I was so honored to be able to do that night. So rest in peace.
We're going to talk about that in just a second, but I want to say this week's episode is brought to you by makegoodfood.ca. Go to makegoodfood.ca and figure out what the hell you're going to eat next week. Use promo code GOP45 and you'll get $45 off your first two orders. That's promo code GOP45. You can choose from dietary options, artisan options, quick prep, veggie, whatever you want, man. Tid, I know you got yours last week. How'd you enjoy it?
Pork bao buns was on the menu in that one. Very impressive. Very nice. Very fun little deal. So it was
love me
was
some worth steamed.
Yeah.
Bao.
See, here's the thing. Like I said before, because I cook and stuff like that. But you know, you get into no matter how your brain works, you still get into kind of a rut. So you need some outside interference. You know what I mean, to help kind of freshen it up a little bit. So if I look at each one of these when they come in, and I can take a little something away from it and add it to my own repertoire, then that's a win for me, right? Even if it's one thing each week, two things each week, it doesn't matter. Like it's so far, yeah, it's been dope, man. I think everybody else should get on it.
So Dan mentioned in the open, I was going to get to that very shortly anyway, but yes, James Harris, known professionally as Sugar Bear to old school wrestling fans, but of course known more commercially as the Ugandan giant Kamala. I will say that over the years, I have interviewed hundreds and hundreds of people. The 2-hour sit-down interview I did with Dan, where we sat at a dingy location somewhere in Hamilton with Kamala, was one of my favorites of all time because he was so raw and so real. And he was at a stage in his career where he no longer cared about who he pissed off, talked openly about the rampant racism in the industry, and not just going back to the days of the old territories in the 70s when, you know, he would try to get work and they'd say, we already have a black guy.
Right.
Move on. Go to the next town. You know, we don't want to confuse the fans as to which black guy you are. You know, move on. So not just that type of racism, but even going towards things like his WWF days when he was wrestling The Undertaker. And I was reading a lot of feedback from fans this week, and they were talking about how they really felt like The Undertaker wasn't made until his run with Kamala, and how Kamala really made him this believable high-level player. But then they talk about that big pay-per-view match they had, the two of them. Kamala talked about it in our interview, Dan, and I believe it was SummerSlam, and talked about how Undertaker made like $1 million payday and Kamala got less than 1% for co-headlining the show. So obviously a horrible situation, very sad that he passed away. He had all kinds of health issues over the course of his lifetime. The last time I spoke to him personally was about a year ago, asked him how he was doing. He had his double leg amputation as a result of diabetes over the last few years. And anytime I would speak to him, I never talked to him online or anything like that. I would just pick up the phone and give him a shout and say, hey, pal, how you doing? And he'd be like, oh, you know me. I'm okay. You know, and that was about, and the conversations were literally about 5 minutes. And that was it.
Yeah.
But, and I had no agenda other than how the hell are you? And, he was always a gentleman, literally one of the nicest men I ever met in my life. And I remember, Dan, you were talking about that event that we threw where he came out on stage and sang.
Yes, that's right.
And you were busy all night long with the band. Tid was busy all night long running the locker room and performing in the ring. And I was the guy that was sort of tying everything together. And I remember Kamala coming up to me that night and going, excuse me, sir. I just want to know, would it be okay if I sang?
Yeah.
I'm like, so dope.
Would it be okay? He's like, but the problem is I'm still in character. I'm like, I wouldn't want it any other way. Get up there, baby. Sing your little heart out. Go.
And where is this footage? Where is this footage?
That's a great question.
I know, man.
David Wildstar, I believe, from GCW was the one that filmed that event. So we should find out if that footage is out there.
100%.
We do have, I believe I at least have two copies somewhere. I'm pretty sure if I look, I know where to look, of the shoot interview, Don. And you know me in technology already, but if there's any way to rip it and get it online, that might be a good idea to find.
Oh, we'll make that happen. We'll make that happen this week.
Yeah.
So like I said, one of my absolute favorite people of all time, unfortunately gone this week. And here's the ironic part. Just when James Harris, Kamala, is making headlines with his passing, Kamala Harris. Yes. How weird is that? Same last name.
Or same, well, not last name.
Harris.
Oh, shit. I didn't even put that together.
How slow are you?
Hey, that's called math.
That's
simple math.
No,
same last name.
I didn't even realize that.
And we have
how you come up with a work name, bro.
We have Kamala and Kamala.
Wait, are you telling me your last name is an EO?
It is. I'm related to an EO.
It's actually EIO. He just shortened it.
I'm on the farm, homie. No, hold on. I'm tripping now because I remember when I first discovered Kamala Harris, wow. I was talking about. I always called her Kamala. I remember the first time they announced her as Kamala. I'm like, it's not Kamala. So yeah, that is insane. That coincidence. Sorry, I got to trip out for the next 2 minutes. I just realized that.
So the news came out today that Joe Biden named Kamala Harris as his running mate.
Right.
I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. I'm going to start with the American in the room. Tid, what do you think about Joe Biden saying Kamala Harris is my number two?
I lost the pool that I had going on that one because I had down Michelle Obama as a surprise.
Really?
You know, entrant on that. Oh, dude, it would have murdered everything. But, you know.
That's true.
Right? Think about that one, if that would have came in. So I lost the pool. I didn't win any money. So
didn't know there was a pool.
There, of course. It's always, it's what Americans do. But for most of them, it's a very shallow pool.
Right.
Listen, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens here. I think it's a smart choice, obviously, for him. We're what, a couple of months away from this right now. And I mean, I'm just glad that he actually made a friggin' choice at this point. You know what I mean? I thought it was going to be, I actually was fully expecting this to be a later choice. Like one of these, like, you've got 13 minutes left before the election starts to make your choice. And he's like, yeah, well, I'll tell you in 12.
Four, three, two,
it's like music hits. And the music hits, right?
And Kamala Harris runs down the aisle wearing a Joe Biden t-shirt.
Okay. That was better than the reference I was going to use.
I was going to say, just to put this in perspective, Kamala Harris, first of all, I'm going to go out on a limb right now. I know it's not much of a limb, but I'm going to go on a limb and say Kamala Harris was not just named Joe Biden's running mate today. She was named the next vice president of the United States. So that's number one. Number two, she is the first black woman, first person, male or female, of Indian descent, and only the fourth woman in history to be chosen for a presidential ticket. This is historic all the way around. And there are already smear campaigns that have been started up again. The same ones that were... The same ones that were going last December when she had her presidential bid that was going on that fell short. But here's the way I look at it. The people that are hating on, you know, it can't be a woman in that job. The people that are hating on the fact that they don't want a visible minority in that role. Those people weren't going to vote for Biden anyway.
No, no.
But what this might do is win back some of the votes that he may have lost with some controversial comments.
Agreed.
Especially when you consider going back to December, how Kamala Harris really went to war with Biden and really called him out one-on-one. And that kind of makes you think if Biden chooses her, sure, maybe it's just window dressing because she is a visible minority and a woman.
Yeah.
But the other side of the coin is this is someone that's going to hold him accountable. And this is someone that's not going to be a talking head for him. Sorry, Tate, go ahead.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing. And that's the reality of no matter what happens in this election. And, you know, everybody that we know and that we associate with for the greater part of, you know, our circles believe that there is going to be a switch in the presidency. I myself like to believe that there's going to be a switch in the presidency as well. Here's the reality to me, though, is I don't care if it's Biden and Harris. I don't care if it's Abbott and Costello. The reality is
I would love for it to be
whatever. For once, I would just like, you know, there to be a president in the last 4 years who can say what they're going to do and actually do it. They're going to be put to the test. Whoever wins this election is going to be put to the test so severely. Let's say Biden wins this thing. You're going to have that alt-right all up in arms in this. Trump wins this thing. The alt-left is going to start burning everything down. Like they're just, God, we're done with the system. And it's going to be a huge, huge problem either way for a short period of time. What they're going to need is they're going to need a person or persons who can get in line with a number of groups of people. And that's what I think the best people for this job right now are Biden and Harris, because they've got a much better spectrum.
Hold on. I want to play a quick game, because I really like what Tid did with the Abbott and Costello thing. Okay. Let's go around the horn and see who runs out first.
I do not do that.
Other duos, any duo that you can think of that would be better than Trump in 2020. If it's not Biden and Harris, like Tid said, Abbott and Costello, who else would be better?
Well, I already said Hall and Oates.
Hall and Oates is your vote.
Laurel and Hardy.
I'll say Jay and Silent Bob.
Kid and Play.
Seth Rogen and James Peppa. Franco. Salt and Pepper. Yeah.
That was next.
Eric B. and Rakim. Like, we can go down this road all day long.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I got Chris Tucker with his running mate, Jackie Chan.
Oh, that'd be nice.
The Rock and anybody.
Yeah, The Rock and anybody.
What do you think? Speaking of The Rock, what do you think about the news that The Rock and his ex-wife purchased the XFL?
Yeah. Well, see, they're in deep business on everything anyways, right? Like, they've been business partners for a long time. Like, they get it when it comes down to it, because, you know, they're smart humans. Here's the thing that is hilarious is that I'm sure that, like, you know, The Rock went to Vince and said, hey, I appreciate everything that you've done for me, and it looks like you're in a little bit of a jam right now. So I'm going to take that off your shoulders, if you don't mind, please. And I'm going to give you a bottom barrel price, and everything included is going to get thrown into this deal. If you think for one second that like all of those broadcasters that were on board with the XFL before aren't going to get on board because The Rock is involved now, because this guy has the Midas touch, legit. Everything he puts his hands on turns out great.
You're talking about the highest paid man, the highest paid man in Hollywood, who has that cool factor. And now, like, the XFL goes from ostensibly being considered a joke.
What is he involved with that isn't making a butt ton of money?
I don't know.
Isn't there a wall that you eventually hit, though? I mean, this is twice over now. The XFL has come and kind of withered away. Like, what can The Rock do in your mind that can save the league?
Have you ever watched Ballers?
I haven't.
There's the answer.
Okay.
This is Ballers, man. Turn the XFL. This is what I would do if I was The Rock. Turn the XFL into the first true reality show sports league and make it Baller style. You have your characters that you follow around. You have your behind the scenes shit. And then you've got football. Yeah, they did that before. It was called The Ultimate Fighter. Do it in football. I think it's a smart recipe, because you know what? If there's one thing that football and hockey and baseball don't do very well, it's market their stars.
Right.
They just don't.
Right.
So as far as I'm concerned, that would be, and The Rock is all about production. He's all about creating stars. He's all about character driven plot lines. I see it. I see the vision.
Let me ask you this.
Ask me.
You get the call, you look down and it's The Rock and you're like, oh, hey, cool. What's going on? And he says, I got this idea. And you're already on board as soon as you saw his name come up on the phone.
Yeah.
Right. Like that guy could go out and sell like fucking chocolate covered turds on a stick. You'd be like, yeah, no, fuck it. I'm in, bro. Let's do this.
Yeah.
As you know, it's going to make money. Like,
seriously. Oh, that's another fun. That's another fun game. Let's play this game. What else could The Rock do? He could sell condoms to the Pope. Tid?
Ice cubes to an Eskimo.
You don't say that word anymore, Tid.
Oh, you automatically lost.
You just got canceled. All
right. That Twitter.
What else could The Rock do, Dan?
He could sell a sandbox to a camel.
What?
Why does a camel?
The camel's already in the desert. He shows up with a sandbox and sells it to him.
Where'd the camel get cash?
Or pockets.
Stores it in his hump. You guys don't know shit about camels, man.
I'm not a camel aficionado.
I don't think you do either, bro.
I don't think you know camels.
You guys were wanting legitimate answers to a very scientifically based question. I assume.
Yo, I know camels. They come in a pack. You can get them with or without filter.
Well, he could sell a sandbox to those cigarettes too. That's how good The Rock is.
The title of this week's episode, You Don't Know Camels.
Wow. I won that game.
Yo, can we get a camel?
Can we get a camel?
Yeah. Can we get a camel?
By the way, I don't know how appropriate this is, but I'm going to go ahead and say it because I know we didn't, we're bouncing all over the place. No, it's not. Oh. It's just, am I the only one who's crushing on Kamala Harris? I think she's sexy.
I don't think you're the only one.
Yeah, no, she's dope.
Probably not the only one in the world. Maybe the only one in this room.
You're the only one I'm talking to right now. I'm asking y'all.
No, I thought you were talking to the crowd. I thought you were asking the audience.
But yeah, see, no, I'm just saying she's good looking.
This is the joke thing, Dan. You could have asked that question to Tid, but you already knew my answer because there's this long-standing history between Dan and I. If Dan is attracted to someone, I'm not. And vice versa.
Yeah.
We have zero crossover.
We're not a couple of crossovers.
Here's the reality, right? Like, let's say it happens to work out and she ends up over at your place one night and you end up in that very spot right over there and she's laying down on that bed and all of a sudden she looks back at the roof of her eyes and she sees you catching eyes on the picture above your bed and all of a sudden she's like, yo,
Kamala Harris staring up at Aaliyah?
Right.
I'd be like, look, she's already gone, baby. You got nothing to worry about.
She's already gone. Like, she's there's gone. A list.
It's like, cool, there's a Dan. List of When I was 14, I had she's pictures gone. Of girls on my wall, too. You know, I had lots of posters, Cindy Crawford, and
Those were family pictures, Dan.
Yeah.
he had family pictures on his wall. That's what you don't know about Don.
I had the Samantha Fox wet t-shirt poster. Do you remember that one? What? It was legend. Oh, yeah. That was on my bedroom wall for years, man. Wow. Guys, listen, our guest has just arrived. So let's bring him in right now. And let's do an introduction for this man. He's our featured guest for tonight. And he's a founding member of the glam rock band Nova Rex, which was founded in 1985 and named one of the 50 greatest hair bands of all time by VH1. 50 bands times 4 guys per band. That's a lot of fucking Aquanet. Nova Rex toured Canada and the U.S. throughout the 80s and 90s before releasing another kick-ass album in 2017 titled Rockstar Roadshow. He just released a new cookbook a couple months ago, Rockin' Recipes for Autism Volume 1, which features recipes from members of Ozzy Osbourne, Whitesnake, Quiet Riot, Warrant, Poison, Evanescence, Great White, Skid Row, Queensryche, Dawkins, and so many others. Now, join me, put on your eyeliner, wow, raise your horns, tease out your hair, and prepare to rock as we welcome a man who lost his dog. It ate his cat. He doesn't know where it's at. People tell him all the time, he's no good. He's no friend of mine, but it's his life, and he does what he wants, which is bosoms and beer and bass guitars. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Kenny Wilkerson.
Here we go. Now,
it's typical. Most guys on the stage don't know how to work the cameras, right?
And I also like the black guy on this show just went like this.
Right, right. That's rock and roll, man.
Oh no, I gotta tuck him in. How does it work? This? No?
Is
this?
No, you're good. You're good.
Here we go. Thank you. All right.
Wow.
Great introduction, by the way. Appreciate it.
Happy to do it, man. And listen. I know that bosoms and beer are a uniting force throughout the world of music, right?
I love that you made that reference, man. That's funny. Yeah. We just put out a lyrical video. Like everybody, you know, we've been kind of stuck at home for 5 months now, right?
Yeah.
So like trying to do stuff. And that's funny, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a cool video. Check it out on YouTube. We're going to link it up on thegodfathersofpodcasting.com, bosoms and beer. It's a lot of fun. Kenny, first off, how's the last few months been treating you? My co-host here, Danny O, is a hip hop artist, and he was talking at the top of the show about how hard it's been, you know, putting out new music during the pandemic, can't get in a studio. He's been doing a lot of remixes of his music. What's it been like for you?
Same thing, man. We're just trying to figure out how to do. We're trying to write an album now, like everybody else. It's a lot of back and forth. My guys live in Tampa. The three of them, and I happen to be in Orlando, so we're kind of back and forth that way. But you know, it's day by day. You know, the first month was like whatever, then second month, and now all of a sudden here we are 5 months into it or whatever, and just trying to stay positive, man. I figure this will all be over with probably the day after the election.
Imagine.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Tid, you're going to jump in.
So I was going to ask about that a little bit. So we know that like down, we had, what was it? Sturgis just happened.
I have a radio show. I have a daily radio show that I just came back from, and I interviewed the mayor of Sturgis tonight.
How crazy was that?
Wow.
It just happened. He called me this morning, and I'll tell you why he called me. He said, "Hey Kenny, man, I'm looking for good press because companies like CNN, MSNBC, TMZ, I can go on. It's an international story too. They're all just dogging this guy, who's just a mayor of a town of 7,000 people. I mean, the guy's got a damn day job. So,
right. Wow.
But they're doing it. They predict about 250,000 people there. But if this was the 80th anniversary and everything was cool, there'd be damn near a million.
Wow. Oh, for sure. Sturgis is always insane.
Yeah.
Now let's hope and pray that, you know, that at least enough people are smart enough to keep their distancing, to not go there if they're sick or anything like that. Because the last thing that we need, the last thing that you all need in the state of Florida is to get shut down again. Like you guys get fucked along the turn, like so much, you know what I mean? In the state of Florida, you have terms like, oh, Florida man, that's a real fucking term. You know what I mean? So like there's, you guys got to deal with some shit down there. No doubt about it. It's in music though, right? Like you've been doing this since like 1980 fucking six.
Wow.
Right, right, bro.
Yeah.
I was just graduating high school back in 1987. So this is all the stuff. I remember all of this. I'm from the United States myself. I'm from a little town in Nevada called Las Vegas. Maybe you've heard of it. And so growing up there, those were the same kinds of things. Like, you know, I grew up on all of that kind of music. I was a little bit more onto the punk end of things. You know what I mean? But I appreciate all kinds of music. How has it been trying to maintain like that certain vibe and flow for this many years, man? Because you guys been killing it for a lot of years right now, right?
Yeah. You know, I make a fun to my guys. You know, I said, you know, we're like the Sha-na-na of freaking hair metal at this point. You know what I mean? We've been doing it for so long.
Okay.
Still putting on the eyeliner, still giving you that feel. And I do it, you know, it's funny. I did a show last year in Leesburg, Florida. It's a big bike week there, right? big bike event. And it's cute to see these little 22-year-old girls come by and they're like, man, we've never seen an 80s rock band before, ever. You know, and I'm like, because we're still blowing stuff up. We're still giving it that kind of.
Born in the 90s.
Well.
Not even.
They're born in like. Right.
No, not those kids. So we're kind of giving them a little bit of that still. I don't know any other speed than that. You know what I mean? And at this point, what am I supposed to do? You know, like shave my head, grow a beard, put on skinny jeans, detune. You know, play a new song with no solo. You know how all the new music is, right?
Well, that's interesting, you know, because there's
your
a
this in drop D though.
What's that?
I was gonna just say you do have new stuff that is in drop D though.
Well, the first time ever.
So you just said, what am I supposed to do? And well, here you are doing it.
I did a couple of songs, but I'm just saying it's not you busted me out.
I'm sorry. I only killed three hookers. I didn't mean that, you know.
We're still talking about drug, sex, and rock and roll. So
Your Honor, please have drop D stricken from the record.
Yeah, please. That's funny. I did just do that. But we did three songs in drop D. But no, it's all good. I mean, just trying to stay relevant and just keep out there, you know. And it's funny, you know, it's amazing. If you just can stay longevity at this point, it's been good. We play a lot of festivals with a lot of these bands that I grew up. As I say, I had posters of these guys on my wall. And I'm just trying to represent, man, at this point, you know. Just trying to stay active and represent.
I can't help but notice a parallel. When you talk about, you know, what am I supposed to do? Put on skinny jeans and change our style of music. Like, this is what we do. And, right. And Dan, I'm sure you can relate because you have people telling you all the time about, well, if you did this or this differently, it would be a more commercially viable sound for today's hip hop. And you're like, fuck today's hip hop. You're going to keep making music the way you make music. Can you relate to what Kenny's saying?
100%. In fact, I wanted to ask you, Kenny, how you, because I wanted to sort of get informed of how I can actually even draw that parallel a little bit more between your music world and my music world, because right. The one thing that definitely we have both experienced is we grew up in an era listening to and being influenced by a certain style of that music. That era has now passed, and we are the ones who were influenced by it. Now, right. We are artists catering to an audience who wasn't here for the era that influenced us. So. Right. In my world, I finally got into a place, and this was a few years ago, where I felt like I have to realize that I have an audience, be proud of that audience, be happy that they exist, yep. And continue to work towards pleasing them, because I would rather do something else than make music that I don't like for an audience that doesn't like it. How have you found, you guys are talking about drop D, please let me know what that means and what it is that you've had to do in order to, as you say, stay relevant, but also stay in your lane and be true to yourself. Because I can imagine as a fellow musician, that's so important to you when you're making music.
Well, for me, we've been doing it for so long. You know, I think about the stuff that we wrote back in the 80s, and I don't know if we would have wrote that today. We just wouldn't have. And so I'm glad I have it. And people relate to that kind of groove. I'll tell you a funny one, man, talking about hip hop old school. I got a show coming up. Now, we haven't played since Bike Week in Daytona in March. We just kept having gigs canceled and festivals canceling. But I have a Harley Davidson gig up in Georgia, Atlanta, of all places. And we're opening up for Run DMC.
Wow. That's incredible.
And I'm excited about it because I get incredible. It. Right? Run DMC, man. I'm like, they're still doing it. So I expect Run DMC to come out and do the Run DMC that I remember, I don't really need the new stuff per se. Right. Now, they want to throw something in, but you have to at least keep it relevant to what you are. Again, stay in your lane. I've tried that. For me, we tried to switch it up during the grunge, you know, during the mid 90s. And when we tried to switch up a little bit, we were already too late. Because, the time you have to try to catch something, you're already too late.
I know what you mean.
And so that years or so in the mid-90s to late-90s, it was really a waste of time. Nobody wanted to do that. And now, coming back, we don't play anything off of that stuff that we did back then.
Yeah.
So I should have just stayed with it, you know.
If you're playing with Run DMC, I hope you've already learned the bass line to Walk This Way. Because you guys are doing that.
I would love to do that. You kidding me? I would love to meet those guys. But
that's like a Steel Panther moment, though.
Yes.
Right.
You know, it's funny about Steel Panther. People.
How come you weren't in that band?
What's that?
How come you weren't in that band?
Should have been. It would have been good money. But we played alongside of them many times. I mean, we come from that same scene. But the difference is we don't. I mean, I don't wear spandex too much. I'm too damn old to do all that. I've got to evolve to some level. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think more Motley Crue, if anything. But you know, you're talking about staying in your lane. Look at a band like AC/DC. Mm-hmm. They got one song that they just repeat over, and it's perfect. You know, to me, if you can't screw to it or headbang to it, I don't want nothing to do with it. Right? You know, as long as it has that little bit of bluesy groove. And like I said, I've had this radio show now that I've been doing for 6 months. It's a Monday through Friday in Orlando, 7 to 8. And we interview on Wednesdays, we interview a lot of indie people, like kids, you know, these kids are 20 years old and stuff, never been on the radio. But a lot of them are getting these deals and they kind of have a throwback. The new rock and roll sounds to me like kind of like almost 70s, like almost Zeppelin-like.
Wow.
I mean, bands like, we did a band out of BC, Canada called Crownlands. They just got a big deal on Universal last week. I interviewed a band called Joyous Wolf. Obviously, you guys probably heard of, Something Honey. This new band that's out, great band, a bunch of just young kids, but they kind of all sound Zeppelin. Remember the band that won a Grammy like 2 years ago? Those kids?
That absolutely sound just not, like yeah.
Absolutely not. They got like a vibe going on, bro.
That's amazing, dude.
It comes around, is what I'm saying.
I was gonna say, it's for sure. It's happening.
So you're a busy motherfucker right now, right? Because going on, you got the show, you're still playing gigs, you're hoping not to get on a lockdown down there. And now tell us more importantly, and this is dope. This is super dope. This is the best thing. This is what it's all about, right? This is the whole thing. Like seriously, autism is one of those things that, like, you know, it hits a lot of people unknowingly. People just don't know about it as much. And super proud of you and super dope on you for something like this. So tell us a little bit about how this happened, man.
Well, what happened was, again, radio show. I had a different one a couple of years ago where I did a Sunday night show interviewing rockers. And I was talking about this story where I just came back from New Orleans. I try to get there every once in a while. And I love the food there. So this cat was telling me, hey, man, I'm from New Orleans. My mom's from there. We got this recipe we passed down from generations. So I kind of collected that. It kind of became a thing. So I started collecting some recipes from some rockers. We just started goofing with it. And then I found this charity called We Rock for Autism. It's a 501c out of South Florida. And they do awareness and music therapy, which is totally in our wheelhouse. So now I have some recipes. I have the charity. I happen to have a son who just turned 19 2 weeks ago who has Asperger's, which is a form of autism. I've had him in autistic schools. We've done different things. They say 1 in 54 people in America have some form of autism. So it's a really big deal. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the food, the air, the medicine. I don't know why all these kids have autism now. A lot of boys too. And people don't know how to handle them. Now, I will tell you, they're like little mini superheroes on certain levels because their brain thinks differently. Right. So when you talk about guys like Elon Musk or Beethoven or Einstein, they all say, hey, these guys all probably have some form of autism. Because my son is really smart, but socially, he just doesn't know how to handle it. You know, new situations, it's too noisy, does this, you know, they get a little bit kind of irritated. They don't know how to express themselves that way. But anyways, so with all that going on, I after I had so many recipes, I started just reaching out to the rock and roll community and started grabbing some. And some of these guys I've known or interviewed or opened up for or played with. And so I just started collecting them that way. A funny story, I did a gig a year ago this last weekend. I was in Montana, Rocking the Rivers. It was us, Don Dokken, and Zach Wild. He was doing his Black Sabbath thing. And I was eating dinner with Don prior to the show. And Don says, hey, man, I cook. I was like, man, I just sent it off. Hold on, Don. So what happened was I got a recipe from him. And to come to find out, most of these guys that are in the books have owned restaurants. They're chefs. Wow. They have kids that make pancakes for. You know what I mean now?
Yeah.
And I say everybody has kind of one go-to meal. I mean, all you guys have one meal that you can cook to get laid, right? You know, when you got that, you got to have
not
that.
Not Dan.
That's when you order
his
out.
Is called, right? His is called takeout, yeah.
Yeah, takeout. I want
to
do
takeout. Takeout's when he takes her out to the door.
Yeah.
McDonald's, right? And throw her shoes off the balcony. But anyways, what I did was, it's called Rockin' Recipes for Autism. I've had the book out for about 9 weeks now. Obviously you mentioned the guys. I have 57 rockers. I mean, there's guys from Kix, The Call, The Babies, Bullet Boys, all sure. that on there as well. And awesome. What we did that I thought was cute is like, I got Roy from Stone Sour, the drummer from Stone Sour. And like a connection like that. I don't know Roy that well, but my girl, his wife's her hairdresser. You see what I'm saying? So I kind of put that one off. But it'll say something like, you know, when Roy was a kid, he started cooking on pots and pans, and now he cooks for a living, you know, that kind of stuff. So all those kind of guys are in the book. Here's the picture of Roy right there. That's showing you. So Roy's in it.
Tremendous.
Yeah, so it's this little bitty
pie. What's your favorite recipe? What's your favorite recipe?
Or what's the one that surprised you the most?
Yeah, there you go.
I would say I haven't cooked them all, I'll be honest with you. But I did have Ricky Rocket's black bean sliders, vegetarian sliders, and they were pretty good. I've also had, I've had a few shrimp dishes out of here. One of the guys that I got right off the bat that really started off for me is Phil Sasson. He plays in Last in Line now. He was with Ozzy Dio, Billy Idol, played with all those guys on albums. This guy, as you see, he's a professional chef.
Wow.
His stuff is good. Frankie Benelli, God bless him. You know what I mean?
He's absolutely. Yeah. Hold on. You said you had a black bean thing and you had a shrimp thing. You didn't mention any like beef, any carnage stuff. Am I to believe that you yourself are a vegan?
No. Mine's meatloaf.
Oh, okay. I don't know about what your personal taste is. I mean, meatloaf's a good singer. He's a great singer and everything like that. But that's on you, bro.
Do anything for love.
He's got pork chops. That's some meat.
Yeah. Nice. No, it's fantastic. Where can people find this thing?
Yeah. The thing to go is just go to the website, Rockin' Without a G, rockinrecipesforautism.com. It'll tell you where, when, how, who I did it with, why I did it. It's got all the information. A couple of good things has happened. Before the book even came out, I ended up getting in Rachel Ray magazine, which it was kind of cool for a rocker to be in Rachel Ray. I did also the July issue. I did Autism Parenting magazine. It had a Father's Day issue, which I thought was really sweet. Picture me and my son, which was cool. And just a few rock and roll outlets that we started. But, you know, we're just in the – what happened is it's kind of hard to put out a book in the middle of a damn pandemic.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There is something in your favor, Kenny, as it relates to this, because I was talking to a friend of mine about this. I actually think the timing to raise awareness for autism right now is perfect, because there is a show that is absolutely tearing up on Netflix – called Love on the Spectrum, which is all about people living with autism, trying to learn, young adults trying to learn how to date because they suffer from, as you talked about, those social anxieties, social issues. Yeah. And this show, I was really nervous watching it. Like, is this going to be fun of people with autism?
Yeah.
And it doesn't. It's so well done. It's so well portrayed, and it breaks down a lot of stigmas, and it raises a lot of awareness. And the show is getting monster viewership. To me, it's like awareness around autism for people. You mentioned the 1 in 56 number, but I mean, for the people that aren't faced with it on a daily basis, there's now this other mainstream vehicle that's right there in their face. And if they walk away from that and go, wow, how do I help these people? Here's one avenue, right? Here's one avenue, because the proceeds from this are going towards helping people living with autism.
That's correct. You know, is that a series that you're talking about?
Yeah. It's a really good show.
I've seen a couple episodes, because there was one where a guy and a girl were dating.
Yeah.
Isn't that the thing where they try to move into an apartment together or something?
Correct.
Or some kind of, I've seen that episode. But people with autism, they just don't really understand it. Again, you know, when I was younger, I don't really remember too many people having it. You always had that one odd kid maybe in class, but for now, there's just tons. Like I said, it's half of America, basically.
Sure.
I think a lot of it, though, is because people ask, like, why are the incidents of people living with autism going up? I don't know that they're necessarily going up. I think detection is going up. I think testing and identification is going up.
Oh, if you do more testing, you get more results.
Just like COVID, right?
That's amazing. Listen,
funny
buddy,
how those things go together.
We gotta wrap this up, yeah. But I would like to personally thank you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Keep on rocking in the free world, God. As it were, man. I like the stuff that you're doing. Good luck in Florida. I hope you guys don't get shut down. And please come like November. Don't do like you guys have done in previous elections and fuck it up and make it last longer than it was supposed to. Like this is a thing that goes all the way back to Jeb Bush. Fuck with me on this. So please
never mind who you vote for. Just
get him in, man. Get him in on time.
Well, listen, I'm originally from Indiana, so I don't take all
of
these.
There you go.
I've only been here since 95. So
hey, Kenny,
good for you, dude.
Kenny, before you sign off, I got one personal question I want to ask you because I was in a shitty little high school band back in my day and I could not play a lick, but I wanted to be a bass player because I adored Cliff Burton. I thought Cliff Burton was a god. So I just have to ask you, as a lifelong bassist, if you were going to power rank the greatest bass players of all time, who are you looking at?
Easy. Number one would be John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin. That guy's a freak. Okay. I mean, just, and then my second, I like rocker guys a little bit, less jazz, more rock. Sure. But I also like the late Chris Squire from Yes. That guy's a monster. Yeah. And I have an interview next Monday on my show, right? First time I've ever talked to this guy, my guy, I wrote him this note. I said, hey, I want to interview you. And I play bass and it's all your fault, Rudy Sarzo.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm excited about me. Right? I see Rudy Sarzo with Ozzy in 82, and the guy was like a superhero. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those guys, Michael Anthony, Van Halen's pretty good too. You know, I like the rock guys, man. But there's good guys out there. I mean, you got your Billy Sheehan and your Geddy Lee and all that, but I can't even root for them. You know what I mean?
Robert Trujillo from that little band Metallica. He's okay with this bit.
Great bass player,
he's
too.
Okay, right?
Not about him, man. Trulio, all the
Rockin' Recipes for Autism.com. Thanks so much, Kenny Wilkerson, for your time, and we will talk sometime soon.
Peace, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great
for
night.
Your time, man.
Thanks, man. See you guys later.
It's fun to talk to an old glam rock guy.
Well, what I really appreciate about dude is that although, of course, we make two different types of music, I can definitely tell the passion. And anytime I speak to a musician, I can tell whether he or she is a real musician or not, or what the reason is they got into music to begin with, just by virtue of the fact that, I mean, he could probably go on and list you 10 more of his favorite bassists. Like, he studies the game. It's something that I've always done with respect to music, or my foray into the business, is to study the game, the artists who've come before me, and really use them as inspiration to not just try and be the best artist that I can, but to bring something different to the table. I also want to shout him out because he was obviously inspired by his son's condition to write that book. And you guys know how much I was inspired by my little girl to do my last project. And obviously, as a dad, Don, you understand how important it is to not just be inspired by your children, but to do things for them. So big shout out to Kenny Wilkerson for having been inspired to put together that book, not just in his son's name, but it's going to do so much good for so many other people.
And
let's
I also
hope that it does, right? Like, here's the biggest thing that I want to take out of this thing. And I'm sure that this is something, you know, I just want to say first and foremost, because I'm sure a lot of people that were listening to all of this from the beginning probably realize that this interview could have gone one of two different directions. And it started to go in a direction that I was not very comfortable with. And so that's why I changed the tune on said thing. Here's a man who we understand has clearly some different beliefs, I believe, than we do when it comes to certain subjects. And I am completely fine with that. However, the fact that he still manages to come together and we can find a common ground, which is the cause that he is working for because of his son and everything like that, is even more fantastic. I truly believe that a human like that, who lives in the situation that they live in, is exactly just that. You are a victim of your society around you, and you just you know, you don't know enough to base anything on anything else that's around you. That's cool. However, I am not going to take that format with anybody on this show. So Thank you very much, sir.
You know what? Well said, Tig. I mean, job. That could have very easily and quickly turned into a political debate in the first 30 seconds.
I just don't want people to think that, oh, they didn't say nothing, anything right. like that. I want people to know
that was
exactly
a conscious
why.
Choice. That was a conscious choice because right. we're trying to support the cause, raising money for people living with autism. That was the point right. here today. Maybe at some point down exactly. the road, maybe at some point down the road when he's not plugging the book.
I'll have him back. I'll have him back.
And we'll talk about his right? political leanings and his COVID beliefs and
anytime.
Everything else. And then
anytime.
Dan can
but
rip
I want
into
all of
like
that
an
stuff.
Animal.
I want all of those things that he's doing right now for his kid to be brought to the forefront. Plain
agreed.
And simple.
That's cool. why he was here tonight.
Right.
So thank you, Kenny Wilkerson.
Fantastic.
Check out their band, Nova Rex. They've got new stuff that they've put out recently. And I put a link down in the chat room to their video, which is Bosoms and Beer, which are two of your favorite things, right, Dan?
We can agree on Bosoms and Beer all day. I ain't got no problem with those beliefs.
Yo, he's got a hair girl, bro. You got one of them?
A what now?
A hair girl, like somebody that comes and does his hair.
Oh, nah. Not since I used to get braid ups. That was a long time ago.
Wow. I don't got that.
Fellas, any parting thoughts before we say goodnight?
Well, I just want to thank everybody for getting one of these. These keep selling, and I'm very appreciative of it because, you know, I put it out in February when my debut album turned 20. And with each batch that I get, with each thanks that I put out there, I get more orders. So if you want to order one, just hit me up. And thank you very much to everybody who continues to show support to me in that way.
That's amazing. You know what? Everybody can go get one of these right here over at, prowrestlingtees.com since we're all pumping t-shirts and shit like that.
Yeah.
Crossbody, go check it out. It's very cool. That's about it, man. That's about
all right.
it.
And I'll plug t-shirts too. Go to godfathersofpodcasting.com/shop and buy our shit. Cause these guys are busy
keep on rocking
their
in the free
world,
whatever. I mean,
I have some really good news to share with everybody with respect to our shop. I know someone who purchased a hoodie and it came in a size that was too large. And I was told that the customer service is the absolute best customer service she had ever received. They informed her that even though it was the size that she ordered, it wasn't quite the size that she expected. So they said, keep it. We're going to send you a new one in a smaller size anyways, and she couldn't have been happier with the service. So just know that if you support us by going to the Godfathers of Podcasting shop to buy something, you're going to get the right item that you ordered or else. The customer service is off the chain. So I wanted to share that with you guys too.
The or else is impregnation by Danielle.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 19 in the books. We are done this party. On behalf of my bro Danny O and Notorious T.I.D., my name is Donnie DeSilva. Don't eat onions, and we will see you soon.
Some sage
advice. Yeah, 1, 2. Yeah, yeah. It's love at first sight. Was when you saw your first light. The first time I said to a brother, if they got a problem, then you're bro, we gon' fight. In the dark, you're my life. Daddy's girl, only showing just smiles to the slightest, only to unite us. Anyone got a real problem, then you get diverted. You've been told and you've been served, kid. Because of you, I got chess moves. And as you grew, I made chess moves. But I was just getting to the king, cause the king is the one that provides everything. She is my baby girl, introduced me to friends. I taught her to ride a bike, introduced me to trends. She is my everything from birth to the end.
We saw you, we fell in love. New world had just begun, it was all for you. And when you feel like you've had enough, to your daddy you can run, cause he adores you.
Baby girl,
you're my everything. Storms no longer need weathering. You the answer to a phone I thought would never ring. I haven't sent blessing. No time spent stressing. Since the sonogram sang in skirts, you'd be best dressed in. I love how speedy you showed your artistry. I guarantee you'll be a much bigger star than me. You're singing and dancing. It's magnificent magic. Let's convince you're advanced. Cause you're inquisitive asking. Got me thinking. My nerdy ways in school have rubbed off on you. Plus, hoping you wanna grab gloves and just toss a few. The way you holler Blue Jays when you see the logo. Got me glad God said having a boy was a no-go. Cause you my mini-me regardless. A goddess, an honest, source of my solace. Baby, you flawless. Though I don't know how many times we can be finding glory. I find these stories to show my leaders my shining glory.
When we saw you, we fell in love. I knew what had just begun. It was all for you. And when you feel like you've had enough, to your daddy you can run. Cause he adores you. And I'm so glad, cause daddy has his daughter. He's got his princess baby.
Yeah, yeah.
And she won't be sad, cause baby has her father.
Yeah. I find it hard to imagine my daughter not being in my life.
You crazy.
Takes me back to a time living it up on the weekends, wild for the night. Waiting for the day to embrace fatherhood. Doing anything that a real father should. Now I'm on my knees, kissing, hugging her goodbye. She know I'm coming back. I got tears in my eyes, and it's only been a minute. Can't imagine months or years going by. If it's simply out of touch, and trying to pay a visit. So I give her anything love and joy life brings. I guess I'm growing up, happy than I've ever been. So tell a friend to tell a friend. We out here, so don't give up to many men. You pretend, but ain't trying to win. Look what a little fate did. Now I'm lullaby.
When we saw you, we fell in love. I knew the world had just begun. It was all for you. And when you feel like you've had enough, to your daddy you can run. Cause he adores you. Hey, I'm so glad, cause daddy has his daughter.
Come on, Sam.
Whoa. And she won't be sad, cause baby has her father.
Yeah,